Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marcia Cook, and a good story is a good story. Today is Thursday, March 22nd, and it is 4 o'clock in Chicago. And we have a very different show today than we've had a couple shows like this, but this is with two very generous people, Danielle and Matthew Drake. They have started a project that is absolutely making a difference in the lives of children with cancer or other terminal illnesses. You know, and we will talk about that in a few minutes. And the phone lines are open if you want to make a call. If you want to call in, Sandra's not here today. I'm here by myself, and Jeff is with me, and he'll introduce himself in 1 second. And our Jeffries, and he's the one that came to me and told me about this, you know, wonderful couple, about what they were doing. And it's an incredible thing that they're doing, and that's why we're going to talk about it today. And we also, you know, they're also on the Books for Children, as you know, that we talked about before, because that's one of the things that a lot of the writers out there have been doing, is donating books. And now we're going to have this program here, and Danielle and Matthew will tell you about it, and then we'll talk about, you know, what maybe if you want to volunteer or something like that, because the book is out now, the anthology that they have. And we decided to do the show now. It was supposed to be in a couple weeks, but we decided it would be best to do it now. The book came out, and we wanted to really do well, because net proceeds are going to go to, you know, children with illnesses and cancer, and this is a really important thing. As you know, I've had a few shows about cancer, and there's several people in my family that have been gone, you know, are gone from cancer, and I worked in the pediatric office for years. So I would like to bring out Matthew and Danielle. Well, first we'll bring out our Jeffrey. But he's sick, and thank you for coming in, because I know you were sick.
Marcia,
come in for a second.
Thank you, Marcia. If I had a walk over glass, I would have made it to this show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hosting Daniel and Matthew.
Oh, that's all right. Anytime. As soon as you said to me, this is something very important to do. I mean, I like to do these kind of shows, because I think, you know, that's the one good thing about the Internet. It can get to a lot of people where you normally might not get to. So this is going to be...
So thank
you,
Marcia, for bringing me on with them. Thank you so much for hosting them on your show. You won the show. Thank you, Matthew
and Danielle. They're the ones that get to thank you, because they're doing the job. Hi, Matthew. Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Hi, Marcia. Thank you for having us.
Hi, Marcia.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure to have you. You're doing a wonderful thing. Probably we should just start out by saying how you started this. That would be good.
Well, we had a friend not too long ago whose son had to go under surgery, and her idea was, she's one of our writer friends, so the idea was that we would get a group of stories together for him to read when he recovered, while he was recovering. So everybody sat down and compiled a list of, you know, stories that they've written and things like that, and they gave those to her to engage. And we decided that we would make his story about him, because she's our friend, and we thought it was a cute idea to not only make it something he would want to read, something he would enjoy to read, but something that he needs to hear of. And then from there on out, the idea was born that, you know, kids that have to deal with things like this should be recognized as the heroes they are.
Yeah.
So we just started writing stories where the kids were the hero.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, I mean, just when you decide to do a project like this, I mean, it's a lot of work for you, but you get something out of it, you know, and the kids will enjoy, you know, reading the book. And I think, you know, these kind of ideas work out very well, hopefully. I was involved in many cancer organizations, and I think the more people that find out about things, and you have a product that they can actually, you know, feel like now they can, you know, get closer to the project. So I know, Matthew, do you want to talk about the book that you've got out there? You know, because that's really a very great accomplishment to do something like this.
Well, a couple of days ago, we released the first anthology for Creative Skit Storybook. It's 7 stories that we've already sent out to the children. Basically, the way the process works is someone will send us a submission about a child who's terminally ill, and they their likes, dislikes, favorite foods, just little things about them. And we take that and we design a story based on those things. And we make that child the hero of their story. And then we take pictures of the child and things that they like, and we illustrate the book with them. And then we print and ship that story to the child personally, so they have their own copy of their own story. And then what we've done is we took the first 7 stories, along with some volunteer submission poetry and other stories that were written for us, and donated to the anthology. And we made a collection, and we made it available to the public, and we are giving proceeds to Stand Up to Cancer and the National Children's Cancer Society.
It's really good. Yeah. I had some of the adults on to Stand Up for Cancer. I had some of the adults that were 18 to 35, and which they, you know, was kind of a forgotten group of people, they felt. And so they have, for different,
yeah,
you know, age groups, they have the Stand Up for Cancer. So, you know, I had Jack Bouffant on and Tamika Felder, and they were both on. But I think so. Is the organization yours divided to the pediatric part, just to the age group?
Yeah, we're donating to the children's part of the Stand Up for Cancer, and the National Children's Cancer Society.
Right. Okay. And now you need volunteers. I'm having a lot of trouble hearing. It's very static. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Maybe it could be the weather. I don't know. But I'm trying to hear, and I don't know why I can't. But okay, so like you need people on your website. You have for volunteers, right?
Right. There's a clickable link in the top of the screen on the website.
Join us and volunteer.
It says join us and volunteer, and then you can send us a message. It goes straight to our mailbox, and it's basically anything you'd like to volunteer, or if you just want to send us a message and say you want to volunteer as a book editor, or
mm-hmm.
if you want to draw a picture for the children to put in the book, anything people want to do, anything they want to donate to us
is welcome.
I mean, it's
absolutely
a lot of, this takes a lot of your time, I would assume, because, you know, each book is a special, you know, it's not like you're running every book the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every book is tailor-made and handcrafted for each
child. Matthew, would you, the website, as long as we're talking about it, give the
right.
Courageous Kids website.
Right. Yeah.
The website is www.CourageousKidsStorybook.com, and it's Courageous with a K, so it's www.CourageousKidsStoryBook.com.
Thank you.
And I have a link on my site, which is www.MichiganAvenueMedia.com, and you can always, if you don't see the link or you want any help, just call me, you know, my number's out there. And or email me, and then I'll get you in touch with Matthew or Danielle, so you'll be able to, you know, whatever you wanted to offer if you can't get to the website. And so,
and if you just
space,
Google Create Kids Storybooks, you'll find us.
Yep, we're right there on top.
Right, and you're right. And so, it's
and you
Creative
have a,
Space.
A,
is it
a,
also
a,
on
a,
Amazon, or it's not on Amazon at all, or just Creative Space?
We're working on putting it on Amazon. The issue we had with Amazon is that the royalties that Amazon.com requires to publish the books on their page, on their their service, is the cost of a book to make. So to sell it on Amazon, we actually would lose an entire copy of the book that we could donate to this.
Yeah, no, that's not a good thing. Yeah. Right, right.
And
well, maybe there's some other people. Maybe somebody will hear eventually hear this, or other. You know, maybe somebody would be willing to do. You know, there's a lot of sites out there, so
yeah,
that
mm-hmm.
you could possibly.
Well, it's all out of pocket right now. So any supporters and any donations that we can get are very greatly appreciated.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely. You know, so how do the siblings react when they're in the book with you know their brother or sister that is sick? How do they?
We actually have a no sibling left behind policy. We've been kind of quiet about announcing it, but if someone sends us a submission and their child is terminally ill, we find out what siblings they have, and we actually write them stories as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we don't want anyone to feel like...
It is a good thing.
they're shadowed by their brother or sister.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, it's, whatever's happening in the family is happening to all of them. It's not just,
right.
You know.
It's
very traumatic. It's very hard for a family, you know. Everybody wants to be up and, you know, and try to do this. But then when you have kids, sometimes, you know, they might not understand what's really happening and they may feel left out, even though the parents, I'm sure, are trying not to have that. But, you know, kids are still kids. They don't understand a lot
absolutely.
Of things that adults do. Yeah, that's a really good thing because, you know, it's really important to make the other children not feel bad, you know. Cause
right.
It's just an enormous, you know, responsibility of parents to try to keep their family life the same, which
yeah.
It can't be. I mean, they're going back and forth probably to hospitals and they're doing different things, seeing different doctors. It's very hard on the whole family, so that is a good idea. And so the parents send you in, you know, some information. Is that what they do, the parents?
Yeah.
Usually we get a submission. A lot of people ask us if their child is eligible, which...
It breaks our heart.
Yeah, that's...
Every
yeah,
child
right.
is eligible. Every
right.
child is the greatest kid.
And usually they just send in and say, would you write a story about my child? And it's so basically just some back and forth correspondence. We get the information we need. We also have to have people, you know, give us permission to use their child's information, use their pictures.
Right, right, yeah,
things
right.
like that. So.
Yeah, because it's the name and image of the child that has the terminal illness. So we do need permission from the parents. And
right.
Written permission saying that they will allow us to write a story about their child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so. Right, that can get bad if it's not, you know, legally done.
Right.
Exactly.
We
you
just
know,
want
right.
to make sure that everything on
yeah,
the up
Yeah, I
know.
You know, I used to volunteer for handicapped and in a challenged children, and this was several years ago, and I was at a prom that they had, and the prom was so cute. I mean, it was just adorable. I mean, it was so nice. I mean, it was so heartwarming, and I'm saying, well, how come the news doesn't pick this story up, because look how nice this is. You know, they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah,
they're having a great time. So they told me that sometimes they can't because the parents won't give them permission. And then I realized that
right.
was then when I realized that, I guess, you know, it's up to the parents to see, because you just can't take pictures and put it places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but I thought, what a great idea, because, nobody, you know, they have such horrible news. This was such a cute, nice, you know, day for the kids,
right.
and I thought, like, this is something that should be publicized rather than, you know, murders and killings. You know, I think people might
right.
like to see something heartwarming, but I guess, you know, that's
and
right. There's a lot of legal things that go into it when there's kids involved, and it becomes difficult. But I think what you're doing is a good
idea.
Go ahead.
One thing I've noticed amongst all the families that we've talked to is one of the underlying themes is the children just want to do normal things.
Right.
And
exactly.
the parents and the family just want to do normal activities with the kids.
Yeah.
The things we take for granted every day mean the world to them.
It's true.
You know,
it
they
really,
would
it
do
is.
Anything just to walk through a Walmart or, you know, just
yeah.
the normal everyday activities that we take for granted or sometimes even Lowe's, they would love to do.
And one other thing I wanted to point out, there has been some confusion with a few people. We don't actually write children's struggle with their illnesses.
Right.
We write the story, basically it's just a short story about them doing something heroic in an everyday situation.
Right,
right.
They're not biographical,
right.
they are complete works of fiction, the children being heroic in a completely unrelated and sometimes silly manner.
Teaching bike helmet safety.
Yeah,
right.
just regular things, right, right, yeah.
Yeah, just regular, everyday, normal things. So it's not, we're not writing their struggles. With their illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been something that's confusing to a lot of people, too.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
want to
yeah.
highlight.
Yeah.
Don't want to highlight, you know, we don't want to remind them that they're sick.
Yeah.
We want to remind them that they're heroes. And
yeah, because
we want to show them what we see in them
yeah.
that they might lose sight of sometimes because
they
of
actually are, I mean, they are heroes. I mean, you know, honestly.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that is what they, I mean, it's a, look, it's a very tough battle when you have a disease that you're fighting, and for adults, it's horrible, and for kids, they just want to be like regular kids, and they can't do the things that regular kids do. So I think that your project, and you know, is good. And I know what you're talking about, what you're saying about, you know, but some people don't want, you know, even when I have a show like this, I don't have as many people listening, and I wish I would. You know, that's why I'll put it out more, because I just think people sometimes are afraid to listen to things like this, and they, you know, but these are the things that they should be listening to, and you know, I mean, this is important. At the end of the day, really, this is what counts. The other things don't. It's just, and if you can make somebody feel good about a horrible situation that they're in, I think this is a very good project. And so I think that, you know, I'll mention it many other times because I think that people need to keep hearing it, you know, and it, they shouldn't be afraid of listening to things like this, but I think sometimes they are. And that's why, you know, I do a lot of writing shows and author shows, but I think that some of these shows, for me, are important to do because I think word should get out about these things. And especially two people like you that have come up with an idea that is really going to make a difference.
Well, I mean, I lived almost 30 years of my life completely blind to how devastating cancer is.
Mm-hmm.
It never really affected my life.
And that's kind of the thing we're trying to stop. We want people to stop, you know, it doesn't directly affect my life, so I'm just going to pretend it doesn't happen. And we're trying to get people to open their eyes and realize this is the way.
I think there's a lot of kids. I mean, there's a lot of children now that are born with cancer, and people don't realize that. And I, you know, you can say what's fair and what's not, and it's totally, totally so unbelievable when a child is born and they have to have chemotherapy. I mean, I did lab work and drawing blood and everything, and all of this to me, thinking about how, you know, they have to have chemotherapy when they're very little, and one of the good things is they won't remember it. But the bad thing is to watch this. This is not easy. You know, especially if it's your child. I mean, this is really, you know, a traumatic. So anything that people can do, I think, is a good thing to do. Yeah.
Marcia, for me, and thank again to Matt and Daniel for allowing me to write a story for my kid, for my courageous kid.
Yep.
I mean, the point really is so much that you just said it, so much they have to deal with. These kids are, my kid was older, so he's going to remember this, obviously.
Right.
Was to just take them out of it, if we can, for just a few minutes and make them there. What really wrapped me around this whole idea was making them the hero. Because they're so afraid, they're feeling like that they don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they're not feeling it. It's hard to be courageous when seeing other kids around you so sick and losing your friends to it.
Yeah, well,
not that idea of being a hero. And I'll tell you, I said this to Matt the other day. It was the most difficult thing I think I've ever written in my life. Just thinking about where it was going and who was going to read it.
Right.
And what it really meant. And I think because it's so powerfully emotional, just for me as a writer, for anybody in particular, you think about children and ill children and children with the most serious illness.
Yeah.
I think that's why people are reticent about wanting to hear it. I don't think they don't want to hear it. I think they're just, they're afraid.
They're afraid. Deal
with it.
Well, which is normal, though. That's not abnormal to be afraid of it. You know, the disease. I mean, I think people in the back of their mind, that's what, you know, when I worked in a pediatric office, I used to tell the other girls that were working there, I would say, you know, look, you know, sometimes they would say, oh, you know, this one wasn't nice. I said, you know, when you come to a doctor's office, I don't really care who you are, what you have. When you come there, there's always that what if. I mean, I really think most people think, you know, and when they leave the office and everything is okay, it's such a sigh of relief because sometimes you just don't know. And I think people do get nervous going to doctors and being there. I mean, I used to see it firsthand. But the fact is when you go out of that office and you feel like everything is okay with your child, you are happy. You know, and you feel like a sigh inside. You just feel happy because the thing is there's always something, you know, you don't want to over-worry, but parents do. And adults, you know, we do. And so, you know, when somebody doesn't feel well, it's always in the back of their mind, what if? And so I think that this is a good way to face these things and know that there are other people. So if other people are around, I think the more people talk about this and understand it, I think it helps everybody. And I think what you're doing is great. I really do. I think it's a very good idea. And it's a really good start for people getting together and understanding things.
Well, there are a couple things that keep us motivated. Some of the statistics we found when we were doing some research is the number that stays in my mind is 46-7. So 46 children are diagnosed with cancer every day of the week.
The week.
So 46 children are told they have cancer 7 days a week. That's not
That's an exaggerated number.
That's actually kind of a low number. That was a number based on a 2010 study, and it's only gotten worse.
And I mean, the flip side of that is that we don't just write for cancer. I mean, we're writing a story
There's other illnesses. There's a lot of them,
We're writing.
Right. That's just the cancer side of it.
Yeah, we're writing stories for, I mean, you name it, any condition, any illness, any.
And that's originally it started out that it was any illness, but we've kind of branched out. And we also are taking submissions from anyone who knows a child who's been abused or anyone
autism,
who's autism. I mean, there's no reason, because all these children are courageous. We're actually working on trying to make a sensory, a way to sense the book. We're writing a book for someone with autism. So we're actually designing a book that is more sensory.
You know, I saw something on 60 Minutes had a short piece on children with autism, and they were saying that they were testing them with iPads, and they were saying that some children that are autistic can see, you know, can they can see and concentrate on the iPad. They, you know, it's really showing results that are really good for, you know, for paying attention and being able to stay on a subject.
There's a lot of really amazing breakthroughs in autism lately.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching a special a couple weeks ago, I think on Nova, on PBS, that was about a little girl who had started communicating with her family through the computer. So she could type, but she couldn't talk.
Because there are, that does happen. And, and, you know, they're finding all these new, you know, these new ways that people can communicate. And, you know, if you can get an autistic child to sit there and play a game, and do various activities, that is really good, you know, I mean. And one is,
Discoveries were made through donations to autism research. And that's part of the reason we're so adamant about trying to get these books out there and trying to get donations to these charities, is because I think we're on the edge of a breakthrough. I think that we're very close to finding something, because there have been results of the medications that have been used lately.
Yeah, there have been.
I think we're right there, and I think it's just a little bit more pushing that needs to be done, and I think more people need to be aware of what's happening to these children.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people don't realize how many diseases there are that kids could have. You know, I used to always say when people would come in the office and they would complain, I would think, like, oh, my God, they're so lucky to have a healthy child, because I think people take it for granted sometimes that you're going to have a healthy child, because sometimes you do not have a healthy child. And it can be a very trying time in any disease that a child has.
We have three children at the age of six. So we look at our family and think the same thing. What if one of our children?
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things that just as a parent, I want to help.
Right, exactly.
Just because you never know if that $5 that I donated from that book is what's going to put them over the edge, you know, or... Because if everybody, you know, and it's something that a lot of people don't want to donate because they feel like they're not getting anything tangible for what they put in. And
but
that's kind of why
we're... But they really are, though. They are. They
don't
realize. We'll
send them a book for their donation, basically. It's not like we're just asking for money and they don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone who donates to us is involved. You know, we will involve them in every step of the process. They'll get a book. They'll get, you know.
Well, it'll be really, it'll be very nice, you know, if people get involved in this, and if somewhere along the line a publisher hears this and they could maybe pick up the cost, and so all the money could go to the kids. And that really is important.
That would be amazing.
You know, I think that, you know, the more people that get involved in things like this, the more, I mean, there are a lot of people that are involved in charities, and a lot of them, but it seems to be probably a good thing now that you've added a lot of other groups in this that sometimes less money goes to. So I think that that's, you know, probably going to be something in your favor, because I think that there are so many diseases.
It is right now, the anthology is $12.99. And for every $12.99 that is spent on the book,
$8.70 goes back to charity.
Right, which is good. And it's not going to anybody. Just I'd like to make this clear. It doesn't go to anybody else. It just goes to pay for the copies of the book, not anything else. It's just the copies of the book are bought, and then everything else goes to cancer. Or other illnesses, and you know, as you add the illnesses, you'll probably decide. You know, you'll probably do equal amounts, whatever happens. You know, how, depending on, you know, how much money you can raise. And I think that that's a good thing, because you always have to say that, because sometimes people are very skeptical. And I've heard people when I say things, because I say Willow Cross, who started, you're on there with Courageous Kids, of the books for children's hospitals that we're sending to, we constantly tell people, because we're just sending, if people have children's books or young adults, we send them to the hospitals for the kids, and we tell them every time we talk about it, there is no money transfer. We just, you send the books to the hospital, that's it. It has nothing to do with me, with her, with anybody, or the same with you. That's it.
I'm actually working with a superintendent of one of the school districts trying to get a chance to go in and talk to the kids and give them some books about talking about cancer and how it affects everyone's lives. And, you know, and one of the things that the superintendent had said to me is that at the end of my little discussion with him, he was expecting me to say, and it'll cost you this much.
Right.
Or he was expecting me to ask for money or something, and you know, in exchange for us coming and doing this and giving them all these books.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to get into the local school district and give them, you know, 15 books to pass around the school libraries and to go in front of the kids and have a little discussion about cancer and the kids that are affected by it and how they're just like you. But they
I think that's a really good idea. That's a great idea. It's a really good idea, because, you know, when kids, they would understand it when you're talking to them. And kids like to be a part of things.
That's kind of the idea. We want to in it, because it's a very grown-up concept, but it's not something kids can't understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah, our children are very...
Yeah, our children understand it. They, I mean...
I think it's important, right? I think sometimes parents don't want to talk about it, and I think that's a good thing if you do go to the schools. And so there's not a lot of books on the subject matter of families with cancer, you know, would you say, you know, that are in the regular realm of out there, you know, of regular books.
A lot of them are, people like to write their memoirs, their story of how they survived cancer. There's a lot of books like that out there. But as far as
for kids, though,
collections of books for the kids, there's really not a whole lot. I haven't really seen any books written for kids with cancer.
Yeah. See, that's
and
good that you're doing that.
A lot of fiction books for kids with cancer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's a good idea.
And, you know, you don't really see a lot of books that are written for children or for anyone recovering.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's one of the things. We wrote these books. Large print, you know, we use a lot of pictures, and they're designed for the children to read themselves.
Right.
They're not designed to be read to the children. So it gives them a sense of empowerment. It gives them a sense of pride. It, you know.
And we're hoping that it might capture the children's interest in reading as well. Because
it's not easy.
We actually were told by a parent that their daughter, because we wrote her story, she was in a book, and after we sent her book to her, her mother noticed that after she read her book with her in it, and, you know, it was a little story about how she... I can't give it away, but she was a hero. And after she her own story about her being a hero, she started to pick up the books on her bookshelf that she had never read before.
Yeah.
And she actually... took an interest in reading that she had never done before. She'd always just played her Game Boy and watched TV and, you know, did all the things that today's children do.
Yep.
And after she read a story with her in it,
she got a little more interested in books.
She kind of started,
That's interesting.
It's very therapeutic. The reason that most adults love to read is it's a form of escape. We can read a story and be immersed in a completely different world or a completely different life. So the idea is that they can escape to a fairly normal activity in which they're the hero of.
Well, so, you know, that's true, because people do escape in books. I have a lot of shows with romance writers on, their books sell incredibly well because people sometimes they don't want to feel, they don't want to be involved in this world. They want to go away for a while and just go into a book. And, you know, for kids to do that, it's a little more difficult to read books and go if they don't like it. So if they anything to get a child reading is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they're starting to read by reading a small book, this is a great thing.
Yeah. Yep. We're trying to incorporate a lot of the things that we think the world kind of needs. And we have a lot of quite a bit of a pay it forward philosophy on life in general. And we think that, you know, one of the things that we can do is we pass these things on to these families because the original story that we send is completely free of charge. There's no cost at all to the family that we send the books to.
Mm-hmm.
We receive the submissions, we write the story, we illustrate it, we print it, and ship it all out of pocket. The only thing that costs anything is the anthology.
Yeah.
And
we don't charge the family for the original.
Right.
Their child's book is completely free.
Yes.
Right.
So anybody who sends us a submission gets a copy of their book for free.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And the individual stories right now are not for sale.
No.
A lot of people have been asking me if I will sell, because, you know, an uncle will call in or send me a message asking if they can buy their nephew's story, just that story. So I don't know if I'm going to start doing that or if I'm just going to send them a copy of the anthology or how I'm going to do it. But as of right now, the individual stories that go into the anthology are only printed one time.
But I would think that the book is $12.95, and I would think, or something, wasn't that at $12.95? You know, I would think that
$12.99, yeah.
$12.99.
Right, I would think that people should look at it as giving a donation and not expect to get separate stories from it, because this is a lot of work that goes into an anthology, and, you know, and this could be a very good thing for everybody to read, no matter if it's not about just the person you know.
Right.
It's just stories. So I think,
well,
you know, you're probably being doing the right thing, because
stories.
you can do it separately another time, but this is a book that, you know, you took a lot of pride in making.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to start separating it is kind of like, you know, you did it for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. And
so,
that's,
you know,
what
I think,
kind of focused on is,
yeah,
it's all about the charities. And
right,
you know,
exactly, right. Exactly. It is about the charity. And, you know, that's why there are many times, like, on the Book for Children site, you know, you have to go in there, like Willow would go in there and say, we are not promoting. You know, when you're on the internet, everybody promotes every 5 minutes, and this is incredible what they do. So on that site, there is no promoting. You know, I even asked, I don't even know if she put it on. I said to Willow, I said, we're having this show today. Do you want to, you know, put it on? She probably did, but because there is no money taken, and we have to keep telling people, do not put your own promotions on there. This is just for the hospital. You know, and so I think people have to realize that sometimes there are certain projects, and certainly your project is a wonderful project. And to start separating things is a lot of work, and you are doing this, you are spending all this time, and you're using your time free. So I think what you started is a good thing, and I think you should just keep it this way. And then if you start to do other small stories for separate ones, that's different. But to do what the project that you did, and I think Jeff will agree, this is a tough project to write an anthology.
Putting together any anthology,
yes,
never mind.
Absolutely. So I
of
think
course
that,
it is. And doing the printing yourself, they're not only getting, you know, being the submission editors.
Yeah.
They're also the publishers. They're also the art department. I mean,
right,
every
as a writer.
Right. In that.
The only thing that we delegate out, we do have a professional editor who donates her time.
They're donating out of the kindness of their hearts. They don't ask for anything in return. They're
that's
just
really nice.
Donating.
That's
their
wonderful. Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, because books need to be edited. Books absolutely do. Because, I mean, you're putting out a professional project that looks good, okay? And you need to have editing. I mean, it is important, and it's very nice that somebody is doing it, you know, on their own. Because editors are very expensive, but it's, without having a book edited, Jeff knows this, we talk about this all the time, it has to be edited. So that's really nice that somebody's doing it. And it takes time to edit. It's not easy.
So
you know,
we just have a... We have a couple of editors, and then we have some other authors, like Jeff, who donate their time and write stories for us.
Yeah.
But we do all of the illustrations, we do all the formatting, we do everything else. So, and then we just print them and ship them.
Right, because, I mean, this takes a lot of time. And so that's why once you did a project like this, this is the project you did. Whenever you do something else, that's different. But this is a project that you worked on for a long time and got it really looking good.
You
know, because So I think you did a great job in what you're doing, and I think, you know, it's some things you just have to just say this is how it is, because otherwise, you know, they'll ask you to do a lot of things, but this is what you have to remember, what this is for.
You know, and it's a shame about the Amazon situation, but believe me, man, you hear that story 12 times a day about them. But what I'm trying to say is, if anybody, when you get this book, you're going to get a nice book. Never mind what's inside of it, just a nice book. Great Space prints a nice book. They use good quality paper, good covers. They get a nice product on top of that.
Well, you never know if this project gets big enough that maybe there'll be somebody out there that's a publisher that might want to pick it up. Maybe some publisher, you know, there are good people in this world, and there might be somebody that might want to pick it up once it gets more well known. And they see what you're doing.
But if they when they get it from Great Space, they're going to get a fine looking book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even if we don't get picked up by a publisher, we're willing to do the extra work.
Absolutely.
To get the story
but
out
I mean,
there.
Then more money could go to the charities, which would be really nice. So, you never know. You know, things happen in life that are good.
It's one of the things that I've been saying from day one. If I have to, I will go to Staples and get a big box of paper,
crayons.
A box of crayons, and I'll write the stories myself and mail them. I'll do what it takes.
That's right. You know, that's really from the heart, and that's really always what the best thing is. So, you know, naturally we'll be talking about it, and, you know, if you're on, you know, Books for Children, which you aren't for the hospitals, and there's a lot of writers on there, so, you know, maybe we can talk to some people into volunteering.
Yep.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I definitely
and
love
help
having
you.
Other authors help out.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure as the project gets, you know, more, you know, as you continue on with this, you'll need other people doing things. So, you know, you never know. That's what these shows are for, you know, and they go out and they're on demand and, you know, people might not be hearing it right this minute, but they do hear it.
Right.
You know, and that's a good thing. And
we'll have
you know,
a link to this blog on our website.
Yeah, and right. And you can come back anytime you want on my show. So just tell me when, and I'll be happy. You know, I make a show up. Everybody knows that I do that because a lot of people didn't know, but we decided to do it because I saw the book came out, and I thought this would be a better time to do it than we were planned in April because it came out, and it's always nice to talk about it right at the beginning.
Right.
You know, so you're always welcome to come on the show, you know, and I think as you develop other things, you know, people will get involved, hopefully, and, you know, this is a good thing. There's never enough of this. There's never. I just truly believe in this a lot, and I think that people, you know, when they hear these things, I think, you know, I know times are bad, but when you donate things, it sometimes makes you feel better. You know,
right.
And I think that I'm hoping that people will do that because I think in the goodness of people's hearts, they do, you know.
And that's what makes it so amazing for us is just the thought that, you know, we send off books and people receive them. We get pictures from people.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing to sit and think about how, you know, we wrote these books just for these children and here these kids are reading their books.
Right. We get
on
pictures of the kids holding their own books.
I think it's a good idea. I actually think it's a very good idea for the schools to, you know, so they can talk to some kids. This is a good way to bring up this subject for children because I think sometimes, Demi Moore. I think they did a short thing on Lifetime. Well, it was not that short. It was a movie for Lifetime, and it started out when one little girl's mother had cancer, and they kept locking her out of the room, and they didn't want to include her. And, you know, we watched her all the way through as she grew up. And, you know, she naturally became a doctor and all of this. But you can really see that kids, when you were watching that she really just wanted to know what was happening.
Well,
as parents, we try to protect our children from the horrible things that exist in life.
Yeah.
And cancer and terminal illness is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
So as parents, we think that we can keep our kids from dealing with it by not telling them about it. And I was guilty of it. I mean, I don't tell my children about some of the horrible stuff in life because I don't want them to have to be exposed
right.
to it.
Right.
But
right.
it's one of those things that it affects children.
Yeah.
And our game plan with the school was to hand the books out to the kids, let them read through them, and then tell them every story they just read is about a child your age who's in a hospital with cancer.
Yeah.
These are normal children that are brave heroes and
right.
are surviving right. through something that is, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to take their life away. And it's one of those things that I think that children, if they realized it, they would grow into more aware adults.
Yep. I think so. I think right. When you start young, yes, I agree with you. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and because I think this is, you know, look, they see people that, you know, there's a lot of people sick, unfortunately, you know, and they can see people that have had, you know, have their hair, you know, hair loss and things like that. And kids are curious and they want to know. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, not everybody decides to get a wig or, you know, cover their hair. And
right.
so I think there's questions. And I think that by you have to, I think you have to answer children because I'm really a firm believer of not answering because I think kids feel
right.
better
yep.
when you discuss it with them than rather in their minds they are thinking of things and they have no idea.
And I think they're smarter than we give them credit for.
A lot of
parents kids are a lot more aware than we give them credit for. I think that when we give them placating answers, I think they know that we're just placating.
Yes, right, exactly. I think the
I think that we
right.
they know when we say, oh, well, we don't know why that
right,
small child
right.
is
that. Yeah.
They know we know.
They're smart. Kids are smart, and
yeah.
they realize that their parents know. And you can't, like, just say, oh, I don't know, or you know, just make up some story, because that's not good either. So I think that, you know, in
and
some ways, like, if
the,
yeah, I think the schools, if they did something like that, that would be good to add to their curriculum because so many people are sick, and they
right.
would at least know how to deal with it.
Well, I know that in my health class, I mean, I'm in my 30s now, so this was a while ago that I was in school, but I know that in my health class, cancer wasn't even really touched on.
Yeah.
All they did was it was about a week long, and they told us that cancer is an abnormal growth that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much
right.
the end of it.
That's not right. Not a good thing, yeah.
And it's not right. There's so much
no.
more to it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the time, they didn't know much more than that. Every cancer was pretty much a big mystery. They didn't know anything about any of them. But now they do. I mean, now
yes,
they have
they
names
know.
For almost
yeah.
all of them. Now we have, you know, methods of treatment and
yeah.
that are unique to each kind of cancer. And we have, I mean, they've made a lot of progress. But in health classes today, I've done several, you know, queries to different school districts. In health classes today, it's still about a week long, and they still say it's just an unknown disease.
Mm-hmm.
They're really still not touching on it, and this is, you know,
yeah.
this is 15 years later, and they have a lot more information available to them. They're still not talking about it.
Yeah, they really, that is definitely, because, you know, really, there are so many kids that have this, and, you know, and they have
mm-hmm.
terminal illnesses, and I do think their classmates sometimes don't understand.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, people will ask the teacher, how come Billy hasn't come to class in weeks?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's because Billy's in the hospital. And it's
right.
it's one of those things that
right.
we just throw the dirt under the rug. We don't want
right.
to talk
which,
about
which
it.
Which would be better to talk about the fact that, yeah, he's in the hospital, so then sometimes if they don't say any more than that, and then if a child has to go to the hospital for something that might be minor, they're petrified.
Right.
That
right.
something will happen
we,
to them that they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know. That's really important. These are issues that people don't like to talk about. And, you know, honestly, they probably do,
yes.
you know, because kids really like the truth. Even though it's tough to hear sometimes, they do not, and they
oh,
know
yeah.
when you're they know when you're, you like you said, they know when you're not telling them everything.
Right, and you have to wonder, you know, what if we go to a school, and I know this is just, you know, a fantasy in my mind, but what if we go to a school and we talk to 20 kids about cancer and we hand out the books for them to read and, you know, one kid, it lights a fire, and he goes on to, you know, spend his entire life studying it. Because
mm-hmm.
if he starts at 7 years old,
yep.
he's got a huge advantage.
Yep. Yep.
And if he spends
yep.
his entire life doing research and studying
yep.
and becomes
yep.
a scientist, that kid could be the one that cured it.
Yep.
All because we went in there with a few books and said, hey, guys, guess what's out there?
Open your eyes.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And it is a fantasy, and it is, you know, far-fetched, but...
Well, not exactly,
happen.
Because there are some kids that,
people
you know...
have to have some inspiration.
Right, and in the movie, which was based on true stories, when the little girl didn't understand about her mother, she went on to be a doctor.
Right.
Yep.
And that's kind of what
you
we're
know,
hoping.
The kids start young a lot of times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to give them a reason. You have to give them a reason to want to do something.
Yeah, and it's an unknown thing that we don't know anything about, and spend the weekend
helping. No, that's not really,
it's,
no, right.
That's
not
going to inspire anyone.
No.
Well, it goes along with everything else. With, you know, now they're trying to have kids eat right. I mean, they really are. They're trying, you know, these are the things that were never touched upon before. And, you know,
right.
These are things that are good that the schools are trying to do, you know, because they don't understand that sometimes nutrition can really make your body, you know, your body doesn't feel as well because you're not eating right. And that's like a lot of things that go on in the world now, and kids don't eat. And, you know, you need to have good nutrition.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that they're
trying
to do this.
We're in a world of failing health.
Yes, we do.
Right. We're absolutely in a world with, you know, more advanced medical technology, but failing health.
Yes.
And it's kind of a weird conundrum because the more advanced the technology gets in medical science, the more we rely on it to fix the things we do to ourselves.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, I've noticed that a lot of people are having to have, like, you know, like kidney transplants and things more
right.
than ever. And so I think I'm going to have a show. I know somebody that had 2 kidney transplants, and now her son has the same problem. But the thing is that I'm going to have a nutrition person on that had, you know, a kidney transplant to talk about how important it is to eat right, because that
right.
helps. I mean, because sometimes people, when they have a disease that may come on later in the future, because they're finding this out early, which I didn't realize as much as some people know for many years before they have a problem that they're
right.
going to have it. And so if they have good nutrition and eat certain things, it may prolong the fact that their kidneys will not be functioning.
Right.
So I'm going to have a show like that because I think these are things that people need to hear about because it could be anybody in anybody's family at any time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You can't say it won't happen.
One in every 2 boys and 1 in every 3 girls will be diagnosed with cancer.
Yep.
It's 50% of the guys and 33% of the girls will have cancer in today's society.
Yeah.
And that's a terrifying statistic.
Yeah, it's scary because there's 3 boys and 2 girls in my house.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully they'll pass over your house and, you know, and,
right,
you know, because, you know,
you
can't think like, you know, it's very hard for a parent, I know, and I never, ever, I try to think only the positive things but what I did say before is true. When a person takes their child to the doctor, they are scared. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You are, and you may not say it, but I know sitting in that waiting room and people worry. It's just normal.
We had to take my son in just the other day, just last week, and we were horrified of what they were going to come back and tell us.
Right.
I mean, and it's because we've made doctors out to be these bad guys.
Yeah.
Because they tell us what's wrong with us already. It's not that they made us sick.
Right.
They just found out what was wrong.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the doctor who tells you you have cancer.
No.
You just have to fight.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that we advocate more than anything
is
kind of our tagline. It's that hope is precious and we need to share it.
Right.
And that's
kind of what we're doing. I truly believe in
hope.
You know, I've talked to several people that, you know, and some are adults and so, you know, and when some doctor comes in and says there is no hope, well, they might as well just have, you know, it's horrible. I am so against that. Because, you know, there are sometimes miracles that happen in life. And and to tell a person there is no hope is taking everything away at that time.
Well, there's never a reason to stop fighting.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I think that when people are told that there is no hope, sometimes they fight harder.
Right.
You know,
I hope they do. Because I think,
families.
You know, I've been party to a conversation with my own sister that a doctor said that. And it was really, right after that time, she absolutely gave up, and I was so upset.
Yeah.
because and I said, and he was teaching, he was a teaching doctor teaching. Okay, so he was telling, and I said, "Are you?" I said, "What did you just say?" You know, I said, "Dude, I think maybe you should leave." Right from that moment on, that was it. You know, and that is so bad. And I agree. You cannot give up hope and anything. You have to keep going.
On a side note, I also wanted to mention that if a child does pass, we will still write stories.
Right.
We do have parents that come to us and say, you know, my child passed away. I'd like a story that they're the hero of. And, you know, we like the idea of doing that, and we do that. We will
still write for children that have passed.
And for their siblings.
Yep.
And it's a nice thought that it will help.
Whatever
it takes, you know what it is, whatever it takes for a family to heal is whatever it takes.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You know,
and we had a parent send us a message a couple weeks ago that basically just said, you know, if there's any way you guys could write us a story. And, you know, she had mentioned that she doesn't know how to tell her daughter son hasn't come home from the hospital.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to tell her that he's not coming home.
Right.
And
right.
It's heartbreaking. And, I mean, we get these emails and we're in tears for hours.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anything for hours because it just breaks us.
I know.
But, you know, it's one of those things that these families fight so hard. I don't feel like we have any right not to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
I think you both do a great job. This is a great project. And hopefully, I hope this turns out to be a huge project that a lot of people, you know, take hold and say, you know, I'd like to get involved in this because, you know, really, and certainly when you see a baby born and there's something wrong, there are no words, absolutely, to describe this, that why this would happen. I've asked this many times because I know a lot of people that this has happened to, and you can't really understand it, so you just have to go with
right.
it because there's no answer to a child being born
like
sick.
The initial response tends to be fairly universal. You curse the doctor, you curse God, you curse life.
Yeah.
And then you start fighting.
And there's something else that is just so incredibly amazing about all of this. And it's these people, a lot of the people that we write for, they actually create pages for their children on Facebook and Caring Bridge. And it's just an amazing community of people that fight hard together.
They communicate.
You know what, though? Because they understand what's going on with each other. And so,
and it really is. It's a family mentality, and it's so beautiful.
I think
to
what
see.
Everybody else needs to realize is that you wouldn't want to fight alone.
Yeah.
No.
If you yourself found out you had cancer, you wouldn't want to be alone in that fight.
Yeah. I think that's true. You want to feel that somebody's behind you.
Something.
Yes. And with you.
It amazes me that, you know, people draw so much strength from other people in the same situation. Because, well, everyone feels like no one knows what they're going through.
Right.
They also can accept that other people can understand what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know exactly what my pain is, but you felt something similar enough that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a connection there. And the family organization that has been, you know, just Facebook alone and Caring Bridge and these pages, you know, you go on one and you see someone updates their counts for the day because they took their child in and they mentioned that the chemo is going well and they're in their third week and this and that. And under that, within an hour, you see 150 messages of people praying for them.
Right, of other
and
people. Right.
Well wishes. And, you know, it's just so amazing.
Soon. We're rooting for you. You know, you're in
thoughts. Yeah. I think it's very good for people to go together that, you know, that understand what's going on. Because, you know, luckily, people that don't have a disease can just, you know, they can't really say sometimes, I know what you're feeling, because we're absolutely not knowing what they're feeling at the time. But somebody else that has that, that's why I think groups, you know, I have a show a lot of, for breast cancer awareness in October usually. And I have now, like, I have sometimes a person that's a little older or a person that's in their 20s now because there's young girls that are getting breast cancer. And, you know, and so they come on because they were on a few times because they are fighting very hard and they're young and this wasn't supposed to happen to them. And in families, there's like 8 or 9 people in the same family that have been having diagnoses like breast cancer, and they're very young now. So I think that when there's groups like that, they need to talk to someone, because an average person that doesn't have, doesn't understand this, what they're going through.
And it, even if they don't, even though normal people don't understand, they can still get on there and show support. And
I would hope so. Yes, absolutely. I think supporting, that's the point. Yes. That's the exact word,
it's
supporting.
It's one of those things where even if you have a different religion or anything else like that, you get on one of those stages for those children with cancer and say you're praying for them, that helps.
Right.
That helps.
It doesn't matter what religion, and that's why the good, look, I've said it many times on my shows, I've met tons of people that I never would have ever met. And I like a lot of, we all get along, a lot of us, and we're, we talk to each other. I never met Jeff in person, but, we all have, remained friends over several years. And the good thing is it doesn't really matter about any of that. It just matters that everybody's there for each other. If they need something, someone will be there. And that's what I find incredible about the Internet. In that way, it's wonderful.
And that's what we love about being able to network like this. We can, we can reach these people and, touch their lives. And, we've made friends along the way. I have parents that say, oh, my God, your organization is awesome. And then, we start talking and we're friends on Facebook. We're, talking on the phone.
I know. I have that, too. It is. You start feeling. These are like people that you've never met, and you might be looking at them, and you might not even know who they are if you're standing next to them. But they become your friends. And, that's the good thing. And that's why, you're more than welcome to come on anytime that you want to talk about this. I think you should talk about different things all the time, because I think, even if you come on certain shows for like maybe even a few minutes, just so you keep people aware of what you're doing and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
We want to make kids smile. We want to help.
Yeah.
And this is
great.
The best way we found to do it. We make kids remember that they are heroes, that they are fighting, and that other people recognize that.
Yeah.
We're rooting for them. They're in our thoughts, and we care.
We actually had two parents tell us now that the week after they received their book, that their children were reading with them being heroes, their accounts were better. So they hadn't been better in months.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, right? Right.
Psychologically, if you have confidence in yourself and you feel like you're a hero, your body will react to that.
Yeah, so, I think that's absolutely right, because you need to have some hope and feeling good. It really does matter on your attitude. It does. It helps. And I think what you're doing for them, the kids, is wonderful. It really is. So I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I will talk about it many times after this. And I'm hoping people will listen to the show. If not, they will listen to me because I'll be talking about it. Because I think it's important. I think what you're doing is great, because I think the kids need this. I really do think so. And you know what? The parents need this.
Yep.
Because they're watching their children.
We really appreciate having us on, Marcia.
Yeah.
We really do appreciate having us on.
Oh, I will definitely have you on again. And Jeff, are you here? Jeff? Is Jeff here? Okay. I hope you feel better, and I want to thank you for introducing me to Matthew and
Very,
Danielle,
very welcome.
And,
my pleasure. Thank you again for having them on.
And thank you all very much for being on the show. I appreciate it. And tomorrow I will be on with Virginia, and we will have our show at 12 o'clock Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern. And Virginia and I will be talking about marketing, and I will most likely be talking about this tomorrow for some part of it, all right? And I will not forget this show, because I really appreciate what they've done. So good night to everybody, and have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.